conscious couples, business partners, and singles committed to attracting their dream partner. Welcome to the Conscious Couples Podcast, where we share our life, love story, and combined relationship expertise to help you create and consistently cultivate the most magnificent intimate relationship possible.
Never again will you feel hopeless and alone in your intimate relationship challenges.
Having accumulated thousands of hours coaching conscious couples and individuals all over the world, as well as starting and growing a global business together, Alan and I are here to guide you and all things relationships.
Thank you again for tuning into the one place where it's not about you or me, it's about the we. Conscious couples and individuals, welcome back to the one and only Conscious Couples Podcast. Today we have episode 112, which of these relationship killers, tractor beam, relationship killers do you struggle with most? Before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to Next Level Podcast Solutions for producing this show and so many others. Thank you so much for bringing so much self-improvement into the world. Personal development, professional development, that is the through line for all of the podcasts that we produce. So thank you, thank you, thank you. You're doing such great work. As always, my love, what is your intention for today's episode?
My intention in today's hot stepping episode, the tempo will be a little bit faster, but in that tempo, my intention for this episode for our listeners is to help them identify which one of these big relationship killers they struggle the most with. Because when you can identify something, you can start to rectify it. So let's get into it.
Okay, so we have, this is an event recap. We do these after every event. This was our 33rd relationship talks virtual event. Those are free. We do them every month.
That's awesome.
Sign up for the next one. The link will be in the show notes. We're going to talk about it at the end. Mm-hmm. So after every single event, we always learn something. And then we want to bring that back to the podcast listeners. For those who were at the event, thank you for coming. And this will be a nice recap for you, kind of a synopsis. For those of you who weren't at the event, we wanted to recap what we learned at the event. Mm. All right. So first and foremost, the four relationship killers are work that was done by John Gottman research. And what they did is they figured out that they could see a married couple or a couple, an intimate couple, for 30 seconds on camera, and they looked for these four things. The four things are criticism, stonewalling, defensiveness, and contempt. And if they saw indicators of those four horsemen, quote-unquote, or four relationship killers in this case, they could predict with 94% accuracy within a 10-year period whether or not they would be divorced. And so John Gottman would predict, based on 30 seconds of seeing a couple, whether or not they'd still be together in 10 years. Miraculous.
Insane.
It's wild.
High accuracy.
And I always say the sign of true intelligence is your ability to predict the future, aka anticipate the future. If you've ever played a video game that someone else hasn't played before, you can anticipate where the bad guys are coming because you've played this game before. Mm-hmm. And so if you play soccer, you can anticipate where the ball is going, that kind of thing. So we want to help you all anticipate in relationships what will create success and what will create inevitable failure. So what we don't want you to do is make these mistakes. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through each of the four relationship killers. Mm. We're going to give you examples of each briefly, similar to what we did in the event, but we're going to articulate them. And then we're going to give you the antidote. And the antidote is the ways in which you recognize these and then you solve them or improve them or
rectify
them. And we're going to do all of that within the next 16 minutes because Emilia has a call in 16 minutes. So if we're talking really fast, that is why. And mm-hmm. You already called that out. You called this a hot stepping episode,
hot step episode.
Hot step episode. Awesome.
Yes. Okay. So the stat that I want to actually bring in before we get into that is 64% of couples actually feel emotionally disconnected. And we can now understand why, because these four relationship killers are so prevalent in relationships and people do not identify and rectify them when they do notice them. So for you, dear listener, this is your opportunity to not become a part of that stat. Do not become a part of that stat. And let's get into the four.
So 64% of intimate relationships feel emotionally disconnected. And at the event, we talked about this. We said, I basically said this. Everyone here, think about this. At all times, you are either creating emotional connection, mm-hmm. you are either growing together or you are growing apart. At all times, you are either constructing your relationship or doing things that are destructive to your relationship. So we're going to teach you the four things that are the most destructive and what to do about them, since we're all inevitably going to make mistakes.
Mm. So the first one is criticism. And criticism, how we would define that, is an attack on a partner's character, belief, personality, appearance, or actions. And we use the example of the breakup film in this relationship talks event. So we have two characters that we're going to talk about, Brooke and Gary. So, babe, let's talk about the criticism that Gary gave to Brooke in and about the lemons and cooking stuff.
Okay, so this movie was back in 2006. I saw this when I was in, I think, sophomore year of college. Mm-hmm. And Gary is the male in the relationship. Brooke is the female in the relationship. It's Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, if you know the actors. I had watched this movie, and when she brought up this work by John Gottman and the four relationship killers, I said, this is the perfect film to give examples of this. Within the very, and if you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen the movie, I'll reference it. So in the very beginning of the film, I knew this was the film intuitively. I said, this is going to be the film for these four relationship killers because they just destroyed their relationship.
And within the first
20 minutes of the film, they had basically done all four of these relationship killers, which was interesting. And we used those scenes in the movie, in the event from the movie. Okay, so the first one is criticism. Vince Vaughn's character comes home after a long day of work, takes his shoes off, goes right to the couch. They have their family coming over for dinner, and Jennifer Aniston's in the kitchen doing everything, and she asked him to get lemons, 12 lemons for a lemon centerpiece. Instead of being honest and vulnerable and saying, I'm overwhelmed, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm sorry, I feel incompetent, I didn't know, I didn't have time, and I should have made the time, I wasn't proactive enough. Being vulnerable and saying, I am imperfect, I kind of suck, and that's okay, I didn't do what I should have done. Instead, he criticizes her cooking and criticizes the lemon centerpiece. So her goal was to have a 12 lemon centerpiece, and he only brought home 3 lemons.
Baby wants more lemons.
Yeah, exactly. And baby wants, my baby gets. And she says, baby wants 12 lemons.
Baby wanted 12 lemons.
Yeah, baby woman 12 lemons. And he had burnt his mouth on the food, and he said, well, maybe instead of the centerpiece, what we could do is put a little lemon on the food.
Yeah, because last time it was super dry.
Because last time it wasn't very good.
I.e. criticizing her cooking, criticizing her feng shui,
criticizing
her
the
hosting.
Importance of a centerpiece and all that kind of stuff. And what he had actually said was kind of an indirect criticism, which was, you know what, actually, I think it could use a little lemon, aka it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And he didn't actually say directly. So it was an indirect sort of undertone stinger is what Emily and I would call that.
So the antidote for that, as you mentioned, babe, is really the gentle vulnerability that we talked about. So if he's coming home late from work or whatever, he had a long day, same with her, she come home from work and she's doing all this stuff to make sure that their families can meet for the first time and have a really nice, you know, thing. What he could have done instead, which is the antidote for criticism, is gentle vulnerability. Like you said, hey, babe, I had a really long day at work and I'm so sorry. I feel incompetent. I didn't know what the lemons were for. I've never even heard of a centerpiece. I don't know what that is. And I'm sorry. How can I make it up? What can I do to help?
Nice.
Gentle vulnerability is the antidote to criticism, because at the end of the day, you're going to feel painted into a corner sometimes. And instead of criticizing your partner, what you can do is be vulnerable and take a soft start approach.
So the other thing that you mentioned in the event was going even one layer deeper, which I thought was really powerful, which was, I'm actually really scared of our parents meeting for the first time because I know where I came from and my background is very different than where your parents came from. And the truth is, deep down, I don't feel maybe good enough for your family. That would be another level of vulnerability, because really that's why he was on the couch playing video games, drinking a beer, because he was trying to distract and numb from the fact that he realized that his...
Ran into the shower with a beer as the doorbell rings.
And his family is a little bit off color, for lack of better phrasing, compared to where her family came from with the artsiness.
Polish and
stuff.
Proud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
the second relationship killer is stonewalling.
By the way, just for our listeners, sorry to interrupt you, love, if you want to watch that movie again, it will be such a good study this time. Whereas, it's funny, but it's toxic funny.
Yeah.
And you'll realize, at least I did, it was really powerful for you and I to research this movie, because I saw it 18 years later or however many years later, from 2006 to now, and now I saw it from a completely different lens of, whoa, now I know how they destroyed their relationship. Whereas when I first watched it, it was just funny, but I didn't understand the undertones of the four relationship killers. So I highly recommend everyone after this, take a night with your partner, watch the film. It's going to be uncomfortable, but you'll see these relationship killers, and that will actually help you in your relationship.
Yeah, I actually want to quote one of the members that actually joined the Relationship Talks event who had shared in Out of the Mud chat. I think she meant to put in Conscious Couples, but I've watched that movie a ton, but have never had that understanding of it, never brought it into my life, and seeing myself in it and how I could do things differently so that those same issues don't occur in my life. And she thanked us for actually making those correlations, because at the end of the day, like, she saw the movie in a whole new light.
Nice.
And she saw herself in a whole new light, which was really helpful, because not only did it help illuminate, identify what relationship killers might have been present in her past, but also how she can rectify and get ahead of those so that it doesn't kill her relationship that she has now. So shout out to you if you're listening. So the second one, the second relationship killer, is stonewalling. And stonewalling is when one partner disengages from the conversation. Usually this is to disengage from conflict or avoid any conflict. This is usually put a little bit of distance, or really primarily to self-protect. And a lot of people experience stonewalling. This was actually the number one that came up in the event.
I don't want to talk about it.
We were going to share that. I'm sorry.
No. I'm kidding. That was me stonewalling.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so there you go. And a great example is that. When
my acting skills are very good.
when you literally, like, someone tries to, or your partner tries to dip into your experience, and you put up a wall. You put up a wall. I'm fine. I'm, you know, nothing's wrong, you know, and or I don't want to talk about it.
A little over a year and a half ago, I attended my first relationship call with Alan and Amelia. And as a single mother, I was very curious what I was actually going to be able to take away from it. I was very blown away with how deep we could actually go in that first session alone. It really opened the doors and opened my eyes to a lot of my patterning and wounding around relationships. Through attending some of their live events and through work with them, I have really grown in confidence in learning how to love and show up for myself, which has been huge. And it's really set the bar high when in terms of standards for relationships and what I desire and need out of a relationship. They very much practice what they preach, and it's so nice to see people working consciously on relationships. Again, it's really set the bar high for what I look for and what I desire in a relationship. So I'm super grateful to be able to learn and grow from them and be a part of this community.
So in the movie, there's a scene where Jennifer Aniston, this is the tail end of the movie when she already tried everything else and nothing was working. And at this point, she's so bludgeoned and hurt that she's so pissed off that he comes into the bedroom to try to rectify the fact that he no-showed her at a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, just fucking leave, Gary, just get out. Like, I'm done with you.
She put the final brick at the top of the stone wall that had been built.
Exactly. And he tried to come closer, and she said, just leave. And that was a really good example of stonewalling, although that was a big one, obviously. Another simple example would be when I was with Emilia early in our relationship, and she said, are you okay? Is everything good? Because she sensed an energy shift. And I said, yeah, I'm just tired. And then I, after that, was turned over, kind of going, I'm not tired. Mm. I'm falling deeply in love with you, and I'm fearful of getting hurt again. So, again, there's a lot of forms of stonewalling, but a lot of times it's because you don't want to hurt the other person because you're very frustrated. And the solution, the antidote, is taking a minute to self-soothe so you can get to a centered place so that you can actually face the conflict in a healthy way.
Exactly. So the antidote, self-soothing, physiological self-soothing. Because like you said, by the time that someone is stonewalling, and usually you're not as aware of when you're doing it, because at this point you are already what is called emotional flooded. So you're not actually rationally thinking at this point. It's just, you're strictly acting in your fight, flight, freeze, fawn response, and doing so in a way that, like I said, is self-preservation, creating distance, avoiding conflict because of the perception or the belief of what that's going to do to your relationship or how you might lose love. And so just being able to take a break and revisit the conversation, or to take a couple of big, deep box breaths, that can go a long way when it comes to reconnecting, reengaging, and not creating distance between you and your partner.
And just so those of you who don't know, physiological self-soothing is body stuff.
Yeah.
So getting your body back to a state where the blood is not in the extremities and you can put your blood back in the brain and actually start thinking rationally.
Exactly.
Okay, let's keep cranking.
So number three is defensiveness. And this is denying responsibility when communicating to or about the other. So this is the same scene at the very beginning about the lemons. Vince Vaughn starts to say, if I had known you want lemons, mm-hmm. what does he say?
Yeah. So you know what I wish? This is the scene. I'm playing it. I never knew I'd get a chance to act.
There you
this go. Is fun.
Bring it on.
You know what I wish? I wish everyone at that goddamn table had their own little bag of lemons. And instead of taking responsibility for the fact that he didn't do the one thing she asked and be vulnerable and honest about that responsibility, he decided to be defensive and put up a wall and be like, just keep
defend himself.
Defend. Mm-hmm. How could I have known? You didn't really tell me. I was busy. I had a hard day at work. It wasn't my fault. Nothing's my fault. Yeah. I'm the man.
Yeah.
And so he did that defensive thing instead of taking responsibility for his own incompetence and his own insecurity. And I think, again, I'll speak for men. A lot of men are guilty of this. A lot of women, too.
A lot of women are,
A lot of people are guilty of not taking responsibility. It was his responsibility to get the lemons. I know it seems like not a big deal, but the little things are a big deal. Remember that. If you want to win in your relationship, the little things are everything.
They always are. They always are. So if you didn't catch it, the antidote to that defensiveness, number three, relationship killer, is taking responsibility, holding yourself accountable to your actions, to your behavior, and their impact. And likewise, where there isn't any responsibility, hold yourself accountable to that.
So what he could have said is, you're absolutely right. I was in charge of the lemons. I was Lemon Man.
I was Mr.
And
Lemon
I
Man.
Came, I didn't come
lemonless.
And now how can I make it up to you?
How can I make it up to you? Instead of grabbing his beer while the doorbell's ringing and their families are at the door knocking to come in for family
That's
dinner.
That's why it's so comical.
And running into the shower.
Because it's so unfortunate that it's so common.
Oh, it's awful. And what is all of this built to? All of this over time, the three relationship killers build to the big one, which is the number one relationship killer that literally we said in the relationship talks event, it is the nail in the coffin.
Yep.
Because
the coffin.
It just
well said.
Totally locks in the fact that once contempt, which is hint, relationship killer number four, once that's in the relationship, it starts to literally grow roots. And contempt is a more severe escalation of criticism. So this happens when actually the target of contempt is made to feel despised and worthless.
So I think a good way to articulate this quickly is that there's a big difference between me criticizing a behavior of Emilia's versus criticizing Emilia.
Right.
And the contempt is built when you start attacking the person rather than the behavior.
Well, that can also be criticism, but this is why the distinction of the escalation, because the intention is not only to criticize, but to make sure that the target of the criticism feels worthless, useless, despised, like that they're not receiving your love anymore. And that's an intentional thing.
Yep. I also want to clarify something too quickly is when Emilia said the number one earlier with stonewalling, what she means is that was the most common at the event.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at the event, that was the most common. We looked back at the chat because we went through the chat and saw which ones of these was the most common. Within our community, stonewalling was the most common. Mm-hmm. But when she says number one with contempt, she means number one, meaning the most deadly.
Yeah, the most destructive.
The most destructive to the relationship. Okay, so to go back to the movie quickly, Vince Vaughn escalates after not taking responsibility for the lemon thing. Mm-hmm. And he eventually said, all you do is nag me. And she said, you think I nag you? And nothing I ever do is good enough. He raises his voice and basically says, you know, he attacks, he says, the bathroom's never clean. And Vince, work out.
You always tell me to pull up my pants.
You always tell me to pull up my pants and check my belt. And nothing I do is ever good enough. I just want to be left the hell alone.
Oof.
And when he said, I just want to be left the hell alone, and he called her crazy.
Yeah.
That's when the contempt really started to build. And then after that, that's when she broke up with him. And that started the whole train wreck that was the rest of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And they never did any of the antidotes until the end.
Mm-mm.
And that's the thing that I hope everyone does take a chance to really watch this film. and realize that the antidotes don't happen until the end. That's when they actually start being vulnerable and honest and taking responsibility and doing these things of appreciation. And they don't really start to appreciate each other until after they break up. And then they reconnect at the end, spoiler alert, where they're friends and they want to see each other flourish now that they've gotten some perspective and some distance. Yeah,
but they never actually fully recover. And that's the lesson here for all of our listeners, is that you don't want to get to the point where it's beyond recovery. Excuse me. So the last antidote to contempt is consistently cultivating a sense of appreciation. We always talk about how so many people are undervalued all the time, and we don't hear words of affirmation are so nice. And when you can actually be appreciated by your partner and have them be noticing those little things, those go a long way. Again, what you said, the little things go a long way. So you and I gave the example of, we do the gratitude game, three things that we're grateful for with each other, to each other every single night. We have a lot to catch on actually right now. But with that being said, if you're constantly cultivating a space of appreciation in your relationship, you drastically reduce the amount of contempt, all this stuff that's in your relationship.
Okay, two things. I know we got to jump here. One, regarding you catching up on the gratitude thing, it's only been a couple nights where Emilia hasn't done it. It's because of the live event. We were at the Airbnb. We did Next Level Live.
Fell asleep.
So that's actually very uncommon for you to be, four nights. We went four nights without gratitudes.
It's noticeable.
I did
difference.
My gratitudes, and it's already a noticeable difference. Yeah. So appreciation is everything. The second piece, real quick here, Vince Vaughn easily could have been grateful for the fact that she wants him to tidy up and wants to have the bathroom clean and wants to see him exercise and be healthier.
Yeah.
I often say this to the NLU team. I want to be the pain in the ass that you thank one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I hold a high standard. Yes, I want everyone to be bigger, better, and brighter. And I want you to have a bigger, better, brighter future. And in order to do that, I have to quote unquote nag sometimes. The point is, some people appreciate the fact that I care enough to actually say, hey, you know, can we be consistent here? What are your thoughts? And other people don't. And so, Emilia, you have helped me grow a ton by holding high standards and by communicating honestly your expectations and by leading by example and by, you're not going to settle for some guy who's a slob who never takes responsibility for anything and who neglects his responsibilities. I don't expect that of you.
Yeah, that's the difference between a nag and a nudge.
Exactly. The difference between a nag and a nudge, that's powerful.
Mindset.
I will be using that, babe. That's fire. And a nudge. There's a difference between, hey, Alan, I feel like therapy would really benefit you versus, hey, go to therapy.
You're broken.
Yeah, you're broken. See, one of them is a nag and not your place.
Criticism,
whoa.
Contempt.
The other one is, hey, here's an opportunity. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll end there because we do have to jump. I know you got a coaching session.
I want to invite all of our listeners to the next Relationship Talks event, which is going to be April 18th. Who is your partner getting bad advice from? Man, that is going to be a good one. I'm excited for that one. The link to register will be in the show notes, as well as the link that Alan will be talking about. But join that. You won't miss out on all the goodies that are to come with that.
And if you and your partner feel disconnected, if you feel like you're struggling, if you want to build a bigger, better, brighter future, but you don't believe in it anymore, or you're struggling to believe in it because of all the constant conflict, maybe you deal with some of these relationship killers. Relationship Talks coaching is designed to make sure you and your partner, individually and collectively, flourish towards your goals and dreams. Please sign up. The first session is free. The link will be in the show notes.
Mm.
As always, thank you for listening. We appreciate you very, very much. That's 112 episodes in the tank. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being on this journey with us. It's not about you or me. It's about
the we
and pizza. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Conscious Couples Podcast. We love connecting with the Conscious Couples community, so please make sure you follow us on Instagram. I am at Evolve with Emilia, and Alan is alazarus88.
Also, if you or your partner resonated with this episode, leave us a review at the link in the show notes, and please share this with someone you love and care about.
Until next time, remember, it's not about you or me. It's about
the we.